Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Hey, thanks for being a part of The Advertising Show. It's being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com, The Advertising Show. It's a Big Radio Midgets production, a very special guest. You know, this is a good reason not to do anything around your house this weekend and or next weekend. We have George Lois with us out of New York, and if you do not know who George is, you will know by the end of this this program and much, much more. I have a sneaking suspicion that you do, though, okay? Sure. But we've got George for this week and next here on The Advertising Show. And a lot more stuff, too. We've got Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider, going to be talking about Cirque du Soleil. The Cirque du Soleil stuff is kind of cool, Brad. They've got the Vegas thing, Cirque du Soleil Love.
Right.
That they actually remastered the Beatles songs. George Martin and his son did that, and I've got the CD and the DVD, and it's really, really cool.
Wow!
So Cirque du Soleil here in just a few moments. Gene Bliss, our customer experience, inspire and drive customer experiences. In other words, look inward and see what's cooking there with Gene Bliss.
And so that's why you're wearing the tights today.
The tights?
For the Cirque du Soleil piece.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll be
very
walking
nice.
a high wire here.
I can almost tell your religion from here. Yeah, very nice. Hey, you know, George.
And of course, my sex.
I didn't want to get into that. Okay. You know, having George on the show, and this is, since 01 when we launched the show, he's been on, I think this is his third appearance.
And, or maybe more, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think it has been more than that.
Yeah, but I got to tell you.
He's got a parking spot outside.
Well,
here,
that's true. And he's permanently in the green room, either physically or by picture, because it's that one picture we keep in the green room. But what a great guest
Uncle
today.
George.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about his book, Iconic America, which him and Hilfiger,
Tommy,
co-authored. And
this is not just a book. It's a book.
Yes. And it's a very cool book, and getting a lot of play not only here in North America but throughout Europe as well. And we have a lot of listeners in Europe, so they'll be anxious to hear more about that. Okay. What has been said about the Super Bowl spots that can't not already be said?
Well, here's something new. Yeah. Stuart Elliott said it. The Talking Panda ad has been pulled. It was an ad that basically the people who created this ad said, we don't need no stinking agency. We can do this stuff ourselves.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And they had basically the sponsor of the two spots during Super Bowl for Sales Genie,
right,
which drew complaints from viewers because of the character's ethnic accents, says he's sorry, and he promises to stop running one of them. Not both of them, just one.
Yeah.
The CEO of InfoUSA, the parent company of Sales Genie, said in a phone interview that the commercial featuring two animated pandas speaking with what were intended as Chinese accents would be withdrawn. We never thought anyone would be offended. Ha! And he developed and wrote both of the commercials himself.
Yeah.
He sat down there.
Right.
The pandas are Chinese. They don't speak German. Still, if I offended anybody, Mr. Gupta said, believe me, I apologize. He said he planned to keep running the other Sales Genie spot featuring an animated salesman named Ramesh, who speaks with an Indian or other South Asian accent. That is until Ramesh ad gets pulled because of the other groups that are angry about
that. And Gupta probably feels like he can knock the Indian culture because he is probably of Indian descent.
I'm willing to bet that the other ad goes away, too.
Right. But, you know, the lesson there, Ray,
is
if you're a client, and especially a CEO,
stay
away from the advertising.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. George Lois has a lot of background in telling clients to screw off, don't mess with the copy.
Well, here's a quote. It says, people have been making fun, I'm not doing an accent, of my accent for years, said Mr. Gupta, who described himself in the interview as half Indian and half Jewish.
Oh, he's got a war starting within
Indian,
himself right there.
Jewish.
Yes.
Jewish. Yeah. And I love it. Huh?
Yes. Very, very nice.
I did it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he would say, very, very nice, and shalom. I guess, would be what he would say.
I don't know what he would say.
Yeah, you know, seriously, I heard about the SalesGenie.com spots, and I'd heard the CEO wrote the spots, so I was anxious to see the spots. And really, the takeaway for the spot, if you were just to run like a 10 instead of a 30, I guess they ran, maybe it was a 60, I don't recall. It was very boring.
I don't know.
If it was a 30, it was probably a 30 that felt like a 60. But if you just ran a 10, although they weren't selling 10s on the Super Bowl, and just said 100 free sales leads, visit SalesGenie.com, you would have probably got the same response, maybe even better. Because what salesman doesn't want 100 free leads, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And I was surprised, frankly, that last year's Idol winner, Jordan Sparks, who sang the Star-Spangled Banner, I'm surprised she didn't rip her top off or something, you know, just to try to get some publicity.
Star-Spangled Banana.
Yeah, actually, it's a Star-Speckled Banana, but it's a typo here.
Okay.
Anyway, she should have taken something out of Janet Jackson's book there.
Is Johnny Carson writing those for you?
No, I've just got them jotted down here from on the back of a napkin from the bar you and I were at the other day. In fact, that one was yours, by the way.
Patrick Myers here on the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about an amazing phenomenon around the world, Cirque du Soleil. And the reason I'm talking about it is because of its amazing brand experience and how they market it. When I grew up, circus was Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey. Then Cirque du Soleil came along and reinvented the term circus, did it around the world, and touched millions of people. But what they do that stands out that relates to you as a marketer and advertiser are a couple things. Unique product that goes a different way. Second, they over-deliver. Great experience from beginning to end. They inspire people. Third, they create advocates. The best form of marketing is word of mouth. Next, they use episodic marketing. There's an incredible amount of fanfare and episodic pre- and post-work that goes on. So creating episodes that come into people's world all around different Cirque du Soleils and as they tour. Next, they fit with people's lifestyle or entertainment lifestyle. So if you go to Vegas, it's there. If you go to Miami, it's there. If you live in Springfield, Illinois, they're coming there also. But you can also pick it up in music to enjoy it and savor it later. Or you can buy souvenirs and masks and different things. So they enable you to be touched by it in different ways. And lastly, they keep it fresh. It's constantly evolving, constantly intriguing people and bringing them in a new way. So as a marketer, you say, better brand experience, zig and zag differently than everybody else, over deliver, inspire, create advocates, keep it fresh, and create an episodic approach that constantly evolves. That, my friend, is Cirque du Soleil.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Thanks, Patrick, on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We've got George Lois with us today and also next week for a bunch of segments here. The book is called Iconic America. This is obviously a coffee table book. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. George Lois, America's master communicator. The legendary George Lois is the most creative, prolific advertising communicator of our time. Running his own ad agencies, he's renowned for dozens of marketing miracles that triggered innovative and popular changes in America and the world culture. In his 20s, he was a pioneer of the landmark creative revolution in American advertising, introducing and popularizing the Xerox culture. He created the concept and prototype design for the New York Supplement for the Herald Tribune, the forerunner of the New York Magazine, made a failing MTV a huge success with his I Want My MTV campaign, helped create and introduce VH1, created a new marketing category, gourmet frozen foods with a name like Lean Cuisine, and by inventing yet another new marketing phenomenon, persuaded America to change their motor oil at Jiffy Lube. He made a totally unknown Tommy Hilfiger immediately famous with just one ad, saved USA Today from extinction with his breakthrough singing TV campaign. In 94, almost overnight, he changed the perception of ESPN from a demolition derby sports channel to the number one sports network with the dynamic In Your Face campaign. And additionally, he created the award-winning ad campaigns for winning ad campaigns for U.S. Senators Jacob Javits, Minority Leader Hugh Scott, Bobby Kennedy. The list of breakthrough ad campaigns goes on and on and on. And that's a good thing. It goes on and on and on. That is half of George's bio.
Yeah.
And we will learn more about George Lois and what is going on with his brand new book as well here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Being powered by Shipple.com and a really cool marketing platform called Tendency. Check it out at Shipple.com. Back in just a moment with George.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
I'm Ewell Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's
back on The Advertising Show, this is Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. As you lift the cover from this book that probably weighs about 350 pounds, you lift the cover and you come to the preface of the book. In a sad time of self-inflicted anti-Americanism, I have endeavored to craft an enlightening book that reminds the world, as well as my fellow citizens, of the variety and magnificence of the American pop culture. George Lois, a legendary graphic designer, and I, Tommy Hilfiger, that is, have chosen more than 400 people, places, and things of pivotal import, some obvious, many surprising, a few shameful, all drawn from the well of American history, celebrating the creativity of a uniquely democratic way of life driven by a multicultural society that continues to influence and inspire friend and foe throughout the world. There's more, but I want to get into the interview here. George Lois, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you here at The Advertising Show.
It's wonderful to be with you.
Yeah, George, and we are going to talk about your book, but before we do that, and I promise we will get into a lot of content and the idea behind the book and so forth, you're known for creating many legendary ad campaigns and slogans, as Ray read last segment. Some of our listeners may not realize your background with Esquire magazine and many of the covers you created for them. Now, considering classic magazine covers from the 60s, shockingly irreverent, I should say, visual concepts such as Muhammad Ali stabbed with arrows, JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King standing together at Arlington Cemetery is another example, and then candidate for president Richard Nixon having makeup applied to his face. All these truly iconic covers for Esquire magazine. First off, George, share with us what went on in your head when you would go about creating these covers.
Well, the major job I had, it was, you know, helping Harold Hayes sell the magazine. You know, he came to me and he, I had an ad agency at Empire became Lois. It was only a year old or so, and he had read about me as graphic designer who was an important guy in an ad agency, which is very unusual. And I just, he wanted advice, and he asked me, how do you do covers? I asked him, how do you do the covers? He says, he told me about how they get 10 people together, 15, 20 people together, and they have a gangbang, a group grope. And I laughed at him, and I said, how else do you do it? I said, well, get one guy to do it. He said, one guy, how? I said, just get one guy, tell him what's in the issue, but you gotta make sure the guy is a great graphic designer, but also that he understands the culture, that he understands that he's literate, that he understands politics, et cetera, et cetera. And finally he said, can you do me a favor, do me one? So I said, okay, I'll do you a favor. I did one, and the first one that I did was, I showed, the Patterson Liston fight was about to take place, and the issue was going to be on a newsstand before a week before the fight. So I called the fight, and I showed somebody who looked like Patterson laying face down in the ring, looking dead. You know, everybody left him as a metaphor for any time you're a loser in life, you're it doesn't matter whether you're a boxer or whether you're in business or whatever. And the issue sold, 200, got a tremendous publicity, because what happened obviously is as we all know, Liston just kicked the hell out of Patterson, and what happened immediately was they sold 100, and they were selling 500,000 copies. The circulation was 500,000, and they sold an extra almost 200,000 with that cover. And he begged me to keep doing them, and I did them for almost nine or more years after that. But so the name of the game from the beginning, as a good advertising communications guy, the name of the game was to sell his magazine. Okay. It was to make people understand how great the content was, and then the way to do that was to, from my point of view, to memorable covers that shook you up, etc.
Yeah.
As time went on, I made it my my bully pit. You know, I mean, if I did anti-war covers when nobody understood how terrible the Vietnam War was. I did, you know, Ali as Saint Sebastian when everybody was furious at him because he not only was a big mouth black kid, you know, but he changed his religion, and then on top of that he refused to fight in what I consider a terrible war. So it started out basically, it was always to sell the magazine, but the name of the game, but what I turned it into is getting my rocks off, and by doing it, I really got many people, millions of people in America, excited about what was going on with the war, and excited what was going on with the culture.
So was there always an article related to your cover, or were there
not
times?
Always? I mean, sometimes. I mean, for instance, you mentioned the Ali cover. I mean, I told Hal Hayes, the great editor, you know, I couldn't have done the covers without him because he accepted everything I did. You know, my so-called deal with him was do the covers until somebody killed him. You know, and he just loved everything. He loved even the troublemaking covers because you knew the troublemaking. You knew that Ali at Saint Sebastian was going to make trouble because everybody in America, most people in America hated him. But since a cover like that, I just said, how I want to do a cover of, I want to supporting Muhammad Ali. You know, I know you're with me. I mean, he was a Southern liberal, which is an oxymoron and a half.
Yeah.
You know, ex-Marine Southern liberal, which is a great, great man. And I knew he was with me on most political things. So I said, I want to do a cover that shows America that he's a martyr to the cause of his religious cause and to his being against a terrible war.
So by the way,
and at that point, and I did the cover, and he always Harold always covered me by putting stuff of the issue on it.
Oh yeah, afterwards.
Sure.
I'm curious. By the way, if you're interested in seeing some of these covers, George Lois. .com, LOIS, GeorgeLois.com. You can see many of the Esquire covers.
Oh, yeah, there's a great spread on there.
Yeah, right at George's website. Do you have a particular favorite cover of that you created for Esquire, George?
Well, I think, I guess Andy Warhol drowning in his own soup, you know. There's a gigantic can it looks like a gigantic, gigantic can of tomato, Campbell's tomato soup, and I got Andy literally, you know, like a little man just drowning in it. You know, that's kind of become really iconic in the art world, et cetera. You know.
Well, next segment, as promised, we're going to jump into the book. It's a great book, and we'll do that in just a little bit.
On the Advertising Show, it's George Lois, our very special guest out of New York this week and next. It's a brand new book called Iconic America. As a matter of fact, Oprah on the 23rd, back on the 23rd, devoted a full hour of her Oprah Winfrey show to Iconic America and the topic of American icons. Kind of cool as well. We've got more of George Lois and Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show. I hope you stick around.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Fruit juicy. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of
Thanks for being here today on The Advertising Show. George Lewis, our special guest. Iconic America is the book, The Bible of Quirky American Genius, visualized with unexpected juxtaposition of images and penetrating thoughts, saluting and at times lamenting breakthrough contributions to the infinitely diverse American experience. Probably want to have one of these things on your coffee table as well. Maybe some other table in your house. George, welcome back to the show. Great to have you here.
Great. Actually, it's not a coffee table book. It's a coffee table.
You could put legs on it. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you could. It's a great book. And by the way, to wrap up the Esquire magazine conversation, this year, April 26th, the Museum of Modern Art in New York will launch a one-year exhibit of the covering George's work created for Esquire magazine, and it's a real honor for our guest George. I think George and I had an opportunity to talk before today's show, and it's the first time ever that you'll find MoMA ever featuring a commercial artist in their work, and that's truly a tribute to today's guest George Lois. So make a if you can, and whether you're in New York or anywhere near New York, get by to the Museum of Modern Art after April 26th for the full year. You'll see the exhibit, and then it'll be work also placed forever within some of the rooms there at the Museum of Modern Art, which George will personally take you through. He'll meet you at the front door. Just call him, and we'll give
He's the guard?
He is the guard. He dresses up as the guard.
I'm not the guard. I'm the Greek god.
The Greek god.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get into this book, because it truly is a great piece of work. Who came up with the title Iconic America? I'm assuming that you had so much freedom in both copy
forth. I did. In fact, when I told everybody Iconic America, they said, no, George, it's American Icons. I said, no. Iconic America takes it to its next step.
It really does. And, leave it to you to, take an obvious and make it a little more clever. Talk a little bit about, as we go forward, people might be thinking, Tommy Hilfiger and George Lois, well, where's the tie-in here? We know the tie-in, but for those aren't familiar.
Tommy and I, I think it went back to 1985. He was a young designer, he was working for a guy by the name of Mohan Majani, and I was doing some advertising for him. And he said, Mohan said, I have a young man here by the name of Tommy Hilfiger, and I'd like to do some clothes for him, open a little store for him, like to hold him, because a lot of the other designers are trying to steal him away from me. And I said, I helped him out, and at a certain point I said, we did the store, et cetera, and I said, Mohan, you got to do some advertising, because the store's going to sit there, nothing's going to happen. And he came up, he said, okay, he came up, he said, I have $160,000 for the year. I said, terrific, I'll spend it in 1 week, right? So I did an ad that said, the four great American designers for men are, it's all set in type, and then it says are, and there's a line --l--, and you have to fill in the blank, and that's Ralph Lauren, and there's a P --e-, that's Perry Ellis, next one said C--, Calvin Klein, and the fourth one said T--, H--, I mean, Tommy's mother didn't know that was his name. I did a poster on a telephone kiosk, and I did a gigantic painted board on 7th Avenue just to absolutely infuriate everybody on 7th Avenue. And so here it is. Nobody even sees the name. This is the four great American designers for men are, and he's already a great designer. So I showed his logo without his name in it, and an address. The posters went up one morning, and I called Page Six, which is a gossip column in the New York Post, and I know the guy who did it, who writes it, and I said, hey, did you see that? And I started this guy, the post, he said, yeah, who the hell is T.H.? And I said, oh, you saw it? Yeah, I saw it. So I explained to him who it was, and he did the next morning in the New York Post. There was a big story, a big thing on page 6 that said the who the hell is T-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H- they did a big story, and the story at the Times said, is Tommy Hilfiger successful because of his advertising or because of his clothes? And a week after that, he was on the Johnny Carson show. I mean, he was literally famous in New York overnight, literally overnight.
Wow. You know,
and so we go back, we go way back, you know. And if and by the way, Tommy at the time, he almost had a heart attack when he saw the ad. He said, "I can't do that. I can't say I'm a great designer." I said, "Well, if you don't say you're a great designer, you know, your ass is grass. You're not going to make it. You know, that store's going to be going to close in 2 months."
You know, George, for those that have not heard you before, and there's plenty of old interviews at theadvertisingshow.com that you can listen to. When George creates, as you just heard, for Tommy Hilfiger or I Want My MTV and the MTV graphic logo that currently is still used today or any of the other numerous campaigns, we've heard George say over and over again, it's all about creating big ideas that get caught on fire and become part of the public media and people talk about it. And we'll talk more
with that said, yeah, we'll take a break here and come back more with George Lois and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Woman here? Never.
A woman's world has freely grown. Most places now she calls her own.
Gentlemen.
We have George Lois here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Welcome back, George.
Yeah, and you know, by the way, when you hear George refer to David during the interview, he's talking about David Ogilvy. When he talks about Mary, he's talking about Mary Wells of Wells Rich Green. When he talks about Bill, that's Bill Birnbach, by the way, who he worked for back in the late 50s. And you mentioned Papert, the company that you formed right after your days at Doyle Dame Birnbach back in the early 60s, I guess. A lot of people may not realize this, George, but in today's multi-global, multinational companies that are holding companies that own all these different ad agencies around the world and they're all public, your agency, when you broke off from Doyle Dame Birnbach to create your own, your agency was known for a lot of great things, including Breakthrough Creative. But I think the one notable thing, at least from Ray and my standpoint, is the fact that you were the first ad agency to ever go public.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I got to tell you, it's probably was my undoing because, you know, we started in January 1, 1960, you know, I left Doyle Dame, which was an insane thing to do, but I just felt that there could be a second creative agency in the world because to me and to most people who knew anything, Doyle Dame was the only creative agency. So I wanted to start the second creative agency, and we did, and we were immediate, and Bill was very skeptical that it could be successful because, you know, we were immediately, you know, Bill Birnbach, and we were immediately successful. And we were the hottest agency, and we were hotter than Doyle Dane ever was. And And more people got so excited about what those possibilities of advertising, of great advertising could be. And out of my agency came Carl Alley. Literally, people came out of my agency and started Carl Alley and Scally McCabe Slobes and Welsbridge Green, et cetera. And that became known as the Creative Evolution. When I started that agency in 1960, that was the spark plug to get to say, hey, there's more than one, but there could be more than one. And before you knew it, there was more than a handful. When we went public, I thought it was a great, subversive, wonderful, exciting thing to do, because ad agencies serve corporations. You can't you don't go public. And we thought it was an exciting thing to do, and at the same time make a couple of bucks. Well, we did it, and the next day, my partners were acting like they were saying things like, "Whoa, George, we gotta tone down the advertising. We're beholden now to our investors, and we have to watch our advertising. It can't be so exciting. It can't be so dramatic. It can't be so edgy. It can't be so outrageous." I tell you the truth, it was like a different agency the next day. Everybody in the ad business, including Bill Burnback and David Ogilvy, said, Bill, who loves me, criticized me and said, that's a bad thing to do. You shouldn't do that, et cetera. Well, before, two, three years, the next year, Ogilvy went public, Bill Burnback went public, Footcomb Belly went public. But as far as I'm concerned, it was very, very difficult, and it made me very unhappy. So that's why a couple of years later, I left there. I shocked the ad world, and I left there, and I started with two young guys, Lois Howe and Calloway, and then we were immediately successful with that agency. But it was my undoing with the going public. I thought it turned out to be a very bad move for me, I think.
Yeah, and to echo what you were saying, just for those that may not be familiar, Bill Birnbach, you were George, you were Bill's fair-haired boy there, and you left, and his advice to you, thinking that you were going to go out and start your own creative agency, was?
Well, I mean, what he I know it sounds crazy, but without Bill Birnbach, nothing would have happened. He was the spark plug, because he's the guy that said this could be done in an ad agency. But when I told him I was leaving, he literally looked at me and he said, "George, there can only be one creative agency." It was a strange thing to say.
Wow.
and almost a shocking thing to say. And I said to him, "Bill, you're going to be a great creative agency. If you have great creative people who run the agency." Case closed.
Yeah, right.
Like there's only room for one. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, where the business people don't get rid of accounts and don't tell you to kill advertising, et cetera, because you're hurting the bottom line. The name of the game is you can't worry about the bottom line if we're going to do great advertising. You just got to go do passionate, wonderful, dramatic advertising, and you'll make the bucks.
Well, next week we're going to take a trip down memory lane as well, but we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things you've been doing recently, and we're going to save that for next week. And gosh, as always, George, it goes too quick.
Fun time to have on the advertising show, and a great reason to tell your friends to listen. Obviously, you can capture this show as well anytime on your iPod if you want as well. But George will be back next week with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show, and we hope you'll be here too. More in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
There's nothing like the face of a kid eating a Hershey bar.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and so happy to have George Lois on the show today. And, there really isn't enough time. We could probably do this on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah.
And have great conversation. George has so many stories to tell, and we'll continue his interview coming up next week. So we know you want to share that with not only your friends, but just anybody who is really kind of into the ad business. There really isn't anybody like George.
No.
And there probably never will be again anybody like George. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to be, you know, able to communicate him with through the advertising show. So it's good stuff. So with that said, we have something
there. Yeah, and also just proud to call him a friend of the advertising show as well. And I know you feel the same way, Ray. You know, a lot of people have heard by now, just to wrap up our Super Bowl conversation, 97.5 million viewers, most viewed Super Bowl ever. Most viewed TV program other than the final episode of MASH, as maybe you've heard by now, airing behind the most...
Really?
Yes.
I did not hear that. No.
Well, yeah, 107, as I recall, 107 million for MASH. But Sunday's post-game House became Fox's most watched scripted telecast in 11 years. The episode earned a 12.8 rating among viewers 18 to 49, with 29 million total viewers, earning its best ratings across all demographics. But just to compare, House did not come even close to the 16.5 18 to 49 rating, or 37.9 million viewers that viewed ABC's Grey's Anatomy after last year's Super Bowl. So even though it was a big what they call a transition from post-game to a new program following the Super Bowl, it did translate to some really nice listeners and a record setting for Fox, but not nearly what ABC achieved with Grey's Anatomy. So, you know, I guess that's why we're always followed by the previous advertising show, which is a nice bump to have.
Well, actually, what follows those is Gene Bliss's The Customer Experience here at the advertising show.
Welcome to The Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Inspired customer leadership often comes from the heart and soul of the impassioned leader of the organization. Land's End's founder, Gary Comer, told us as we grew to think small. Think one customer at a time and the rest will take care of itself. And it did. What he was able to do was communicate our purpose for customers. It's amazing how many companies have every part of their company defining what they do separately. The parts don't add up. One emerging home builder changed his mission from being a building contractor to delivering on the American dream. That was as much for his internal team, probably more than for customers. Do this litmus test to see how connected your company is in knowing the higher mission they all collectively serve for customers. The next 10 people you speak to, ask them, what's your job and what's our collective job? You'll be surprised at the varied answers you'll get. No wonder. If you haven't been the beacon for telling them where they're headed for customers, they'll all chart their own course.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, Gene. As always, a great feature here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Hope you enjoyed the George Lois segments today. We have more fresh, brand-new segments coming your way next week here, and we know you want to be a part of that. You know, the Super Bowl, real quick, Budweiser's Dog and Pony Show takes top ad meter spot.
Heard that.
According to USA Today. Did you see the spot? I didn't see it.
Yeah,
so
saw a little of it. I don't agree with that, but I heard that, and I saw it.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So it basically says, what is it? It's a nod to millions of boomer viewers, the valiant, steed trains. Oh, I did see that one.
But didn't they do one before on a horse that didn't make the Clydesdales and all of a sudden then, you know, it gets big and makes the Clydesdale? They did this spot before already. A few years ago, I thought.
Okay. They may have. I don't know.
And
I
this one involves that. A dog and, you know, he helps him work out and then he makes the Clydesdale team.
It was kind of like a Lassie moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what they say. If you can't come up with a great idea for your ad campaign, put a dog in it.
Or a child.
Or a child. Correct.
Babies and kids are great in spots and radio spots. There's a thing that they're trying to get the creatives to involve themselves in one of these award programs as well, and they sent out a great It's on YouTube. It's called Eros, E-R-O-S. It's a radio spot, and there's a tarp in front of the talent, and you hear this sexy voice and this sexy male voice and female voice, and then the tarp comes down, and you see this two of the most ugly people you've ever seen in the world, and a guy making sound effects who looks like he's a part of the Geek Squad or
and
something.
And it's really them doing the voices.
The power of radio. That's the power of the voice.
Well, they only knew what we looked like.
Without the pictures, they already know they went to the website.
Oh, that's right.
That's true. Those pictures are not Dark Glamour Shots pictures, though. They're close, but not quite.
Scratch and sniff.
Hope you enjoyed the show today. We have George Lewis back with us next week on The Advertising Show. Of course, the same place. Brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.